Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Do you want to be happy? I know I do. I mean, my whole family motto is happy, healthy, fun. If you look at my house, you'll find pillows that say my happy place and tchotchkes that say choose happiness. Nobody wants to be miserable. Like, life's too short to be miserable. Like, who wants to be miserable? I don't know anybody that wants to be miserable. We want to be happy, right? Pandora knows we want to be happy. As I was writing this sermon, typing it up, listening to my Pandora station, all of a sudden a commercial comes on. Do you want to be happy? We have a new happy station. Just click on the banner and you'll be able to hear songs that will make you smile all day long. So I clicked on it. What came on? Bob Marley. One love, one heart.
Give thanks and thanks to the Lord, and I will feel all right.
Bob Marley gets it. He was on the right track. You know what I've come to realize is that we have much more of a say-so when it comes to our happiness than we are led to believe. In our culture, happiness is usually talked about in terms of a feeling or emotion, something that's tied to a fun and exciting experience, something that comes and goes. But the Bible makes it clear that happiness can be a state of being, something that we can choose when we choose God. He is the source of our happiness, and he outlines the path to happiness. We read about it in Psalm chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." That word blessed is the person. That the Hebrew meaning for that is happy. So different versions actually use that meaning in that translation. So like the NLT says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." And the NRSV says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." Which leads us to happy principle number one. The people who influence us will influence our happiness. For the most part, we are free to choose who we allow to influence us. But sadly, many of us give up that freedom. We are so passive about our relationships. We settle for people that may just be around in close proximity, or people who look like us or sound like us, or people who simply just give us attention. When really, we have the opportunity to choose who we want to be close to. If we want to be happy, we have to stop being so passive about the people we pursue and prioritize. Now, let me tell you, I love people. I love all kinds of people. I'm intrigued by people. I love connecting with people, all kinds of people. But I keep my close circle tight. Why? Because I have found people who love God, who are loyal, who love me in spite of my weaknesses and accept me and forgive me and actually help me get closer to Jesus. And that makes me happy. So I just want to make it really simple. If your goal is to be happy now and in heaven, you better find other people who are on their way to heaven. All right? So this means that you're going to have to do three things. Number one, you're going to have to assess your current relationships. How would you describe your circle of influence, your friends, your family, your coworkers, whoever that may be? Chances are that if you take a moment to describe them, you'll probably describe yourself as well, because the people we hang out with becomes a reflection of us, and we are a reflection of them. So we need to assess our relationships. Secondly, we need to distance ourselves from those who are not a good influence on us. We need to set some healthy boundaries. Now, I don't say cut off people or cancel people for a reason, all right? Because first of all, we're trying to be disciples. So our first goal should always be to see who else we can bring along in our journey to heaven. But if you do have to let people go, we always want to leave the door open so that when they are ready to seek God, they will know that we are here for them. Secondly, I think sometimes we are too quick to cut people off that we really don't need to cut off, and we keep people close who we really need to distance ourselves from. What do I mean by that? I mean that sometimes people tell us the truth. People challenge us with what they say to us or their lifestyle, and that makes us want to cut them off because we don't feel good in the moment when we're around them, and we don't appreciate the fact that they give us an honest answer instead of multiplying kisses. Now, at the other end, sometimes we just like to be around people that we are comfortable with, but we miss out on the growth that can happen when we have a healthy circle of relationships. So sometimes we have to distance ourselves, and then we have to invest in those heading in the same direction as us, or at least they want to head in the same direction. All of us have a limited amount of relational capacity. We only have so much time and energy to invest in relationships. We got to make sure we invest that in relationships that will be fruitful for both people. You know, I hate this trend that I see on social media that always makes us the good person and then the bad person, right? That we're always right and they're always wrong. And if we're wrong, it's because of it's their fault. But sometimes we've been the bad influence. Sometimes we need to distance ourselves from others for their own good so that we can give them a time that they need to heal from the wounds that we have caused. Maybe the best thing for their relationship with God is that we're not around so that they can have the time that they need to focus on their relationship with God, to invest in relationships with other people who are gonna guide them closer to God. So the people that influence us will influence our happiness. Now it's time for happy principle number two. Happy principle number two, the things we meditate on will influence our happiness. This passage shows us that happiness belongs to the person who delights in the law of the Lord. That means that we have to learn to love the word of God. If we want to be happy, we must meditate on it day and night. To meditate simply means to think deeply or focus one's mind on the scriptures for a period of time. It means we got to give the word of God the time and attention and energy that it deserves. Now, I have experienced some victories lately. There are times when I wake up and I have a scripture on my mind, a scripture on my heart, and for some reason it's just looping over and over again in my mind. And I'm encouraged by that. I'm happy by that, because I mean, there's a lot of other things that I could be thinking about when I wake up. But I love that the scriptures are on my heart. We are built to be able to do this. We're supposed to be able to think about something and focus on something for a long period of time. It's called binging on Netflix. If you can do that, if you can binge on Netflix, you can binge on the Bible. But let me tell you what, I have an, let me tell you something. I have an experiment for you this week. Okay. This is what I want you to do. I want you to meditate on something. So I want you to listen to the songs that you usually listen to. I want you to watch what you usually watch. I want you to keep scrolling through social media. But this week, I want you to explore how your mood changes when you allow these things into your mind and your heart, okay? And I just want you to notice the effect that it has on the way you feel. But then I want you to go on to what you concentrate on. I want you to daydream like you usually do, okay? I want you to go off in your mind and think about that person that you're going off on, or they're going off on you. Or I want you to think about that worst case scenario that we usually go to, right? Whenever we like have a little cough or something, and whatever may happen, right? I want you to concentrate. But once you catch yourself and you notice that you've been concentrating on something passively, I want you to think about how you feel in that moment. And then I want you to compare that with how you feel when you meditate on the Word of God. I'm talking about really meditate. I'm talking about taking time out in the morning to get away from the distractions like Jesus did, right? Who woke up very early in the morning while it was still dark to spend time with God. We see that in Mark chapter 1 in verse 35. So give yourself time to think deeply and to focus on God. And I want you to write down how you feel then. I promise you this. Once you start to consistently meditate on the Word of God, especially in the morning before you do anything else, you will find that when you don't spend that time with God, your day will be completely different. Not for the good, but it's worse off. I mean, you really feel the difference. I want to share with you just one of the a really cool story about the power of meditating on the scriptures. One of our friends who has been seeking out God and getting to the scriptures lately, he was invited out by one of the college students who said, hey, come on in and join us. Join us in our small group gatherings, and just come hang out with us. And so he joined the group chat. And the cool thing about it was that he had already started to read the Bible. To start off the year, he started in the book of Genesis and has read all the way through. And yes, he made it through Numbers. Yes, he made it through Leviticus. I think he's in like 1st and 2nd Kings now. But what happened as the brothers were studying the scriptures with him, he would relate those scriptures to the things he read in the Old Testament. And then what was really cool what happened this past week was that the brothers were getting ready to study the Bible with him and teach him about sin and the confession of sin and repentance. And so they look at James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And he goes, I just read this week. I was so convicted by it that I said, I got to confess my sins. I got to talk to somebody, but I didn't know who to confess to. So I went and talked to my mom. I confessed things to my mom, and he got open with his mom because he saw the scriptures and he said, I got to put it into practice. That's called fruit. That's the fruit that happens when we meditate on the Word of God. It leads to action. It leads to results. It yields fruit in our lives. Now, this is a living example of somebody who meditated on the Word and now is fruitful and is prospering spiritually. Now, remember verse 3. It says that people who choose to be happy are like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Our problem is that too often we're so worried about prospering when we should be making sure that our tree, our lives, are planted by the streams of water. The scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ is our living water, which means we have access to the eternal source of strength, of wisdom, of love. And if we drink daily from the source, we will bear fruit that reflects the source, our King, Jesus Christ. But if we don't, we will dry up, we will wither, and we will die. You know, the prophet Jeremiah was obviously well acquainted with Psalm chapter 1. And Jeremiah 17, we're going to start here in verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Reading this scripture is a simple exercise in compare and contrast. Cursed is the person who trusts in man, who trusts in the flesh, who turns their heart away from God. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and is confident in him. Which leads us to happy principle number 3. The one we trust will influence our happiness. Who do you trust? Who do you put your confidence in? See, this is a warning for prideful and self-reliant people like me, who really think we got it down, who really think we can handle things without God and even without the help of other people, who tend to try to strong arm situations to get what we want, who find it easier to trust in our limited selves rather than put our confidence in the limitless God. That's why fasting is so good for me. Let me tell you, my flesh rejects it, but when I do it, my spirit and my soul embrace it. They let me know that it is right because it puts me right where I need to be. It puts me in my place, in a place where I'm truly humble before God, in a place where because of my humility, then I'm able to then trust God and have greater faith in God. And that's where I want to be as a disciple. When I fast, I tend to see two things clearly. I cannot, but he can. Now, this scripture also applies to those of us who really think that another person has more power over our lives than God does. Now, one obvious example is when it comes to romantic relationships. We know that. This is the times when we think that another person has the power to fulfill us and to meet our needs more than God does. And so we cling to that person and we make that person the center of our universe. And we put all this pressure on that person to make us happy. And when they aren't able to meet those expectations, which they won't, our world crumbles. We fail to remember that in the same way that pressure busts pipes, the pressure we put on people busts the possibility of having a healthy relationship that God can bless. Now, another example of when we look, when we trust in man, trust in the flesh, is when we look to people in authority as if they have more power about our future than we do. I'm talking about when we look at bosses and these bosses are supervisors who seem to have control over our jobs, our promotions, our monies, right? Our salaries, or even spiritual leaders who seem to have control over the direction of the church or even our small groups or the way we do different things in our church. Even civic leaders like politicians who seem to have control over the directions of our cities or our countries. And so fear and worry take over when there is someone in a position of power and authority in our lives who do not seem to have our best interest in mind. But according to this scripture, the person who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the water. That person does not fear when heat comes. and has no worries in a year of drought. I'm pretty sure that 2020 can qualify as a year of drought. But I ask you, do you want to be fearful? Do you want to worry? Or do you want to be happy? You know, every Sunday we take communion. Every Sunday we take time out to remember Jesus. That's what communion is. We take a cracker or a piece of bread, we break it to signify the broken body of Jesus Christ, who was broken because of our iniquities, because of our sin. And we eat that piece of cracker to remember him. And then we take some grape juice or some red wine and we drink a little bit of that juice to remember the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. And that's what we're going to do together in just a few minutes. But today, as we take communion, as we remember Jesus, I want us to remember that happy people don't fear when he comes because they are connected to the source of living water. Happy people have leaves that are always green because they are connected to the source of living water. Happy people never fail to bear fruit because they are connected to the source of living water. And happy people have no worries in a year of drought because they are connected to the source of living water. Are you connected? In John chapter 7 and verse 38, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Are you connected? Do you want to be? I want to encourage you right now to make a decision that today, this week, we will connect to the source of living water and we will choose to be happy. Let's pray for our communion. Father God, we thank you for who you are, God. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, Father, for who you are, for being our creative, our creator, and being our king, and being our Lord, and being our Father. And Father, we pray right now, Lord, that we will connect with you in this moment, that we will experience happiness that comes from you, Father God. I pray for rivers of living water to flow from within us through your Holy Spirit, that these streams of living water will nourish us and cleanse us, fulfill us, and will allow us to give life to others. Father, we thank you for Jesus who has given life to us. We know that it is only through him that we are saved. It is only through him that we are fulfilled. It is only through him that we are connected to the source of living water and we're able to have new life. And so I pray, God, that you will forgive us of our sins, that you will help us to repent, help us to start anew. And Father, that you will help us to become who you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.